Hank Stoltz, and this is the Clear Path of Financial Partners, a podcast with the founder of A Clear Path of Financial Partners, as always, Ryan Kittredge, here to break everything down for us, hopefully make it not quite as scary as it can sometimes be, and to address the things that really honestly keep us up at night or come to us. Sometimes we're just driving along and all of a sudden you go, wait a minute, how old am I? When is retirement coming? Or as we talked about last month, Ryan, just, you know, the fact that kids are heading off to college, so people had to deal with how do I pay for college? Or your kids are juniors and seniors in high school now, and how are you going to pay for it?
Right. Time goes by fast, and all of a sudden that long-term goal is staring you right down.
It does. So our long, hot summer is coming to an end, and as we get ready to head into fall, and again, you know, the kids kind of going back to school. I don't want to get too philosophical here, Ryan, but today it's like the circle of life. So we have talked in the past about, you know, when you are born, then you're off to college. Going to get a little bit into today when maybe at some point you get that inheritance. But when you get that inheritance, it means, of course, that a loved one has passed on. And want to talk a little bit about that, about how you get the inheritance. But also, you know, mom and dad have picked you or your brother or your sister to be the one who's really going to deal with that and to make sure that their wishes are carried out. And how does that work? And if some people have planned for that eventuality and some I'm sure have not. But
right.
I'm Absolutely. Sure that's part of what you do at Clear Path Financial Partners.
It certainly is. And like a lot of things, Hank, some pre-planning can go a long way, right? So kind of like we talked about last month on the college planning, there's sort of two aspects of it. It's like, well, if you've got time and we can kind of back into what's the best thing to do now, you know, several years out, it gives you more runway and you can, you know, have a more intentional plan. Same thing with estate planning as well. But then there are those, oh, crap moments where it's like, oh, wait a minute, my little Billy is all of a sudden he's going into his senior year and we're only months away from paying a college bill. Or thought my folks were doing well on their own, but all of a sudden it's clear that dad has had a lot of cognitive decline and he isn't capable. Mom's not okay to take care of him anymore. Or even furthermore, it's, hey, I thought they were okay and we had some time left and mom passed away unexpectedly last week. And so it's both, well, if you're not up against that, what can you do? But then also, if all of a sudden that's the situation you're in and you're the child or sibling of someone who's sick or has passed away, you know, what are your responsibilities and, you know, what's the best way to handle that?
Boy, it sure is. I mean, these are the things that just come up in all of our lives. And someone now has passed away. I guess there's two things that I would ask you, you know, Ryan. Why don't we start with the one where someone has passed away. And before we get into sort of how you manage and make things equal, and particularly if you're the trustee, what happens? What do you have to be prepared for now when you get that inheritance? And when maybe, you know, mom and dad, maybe you're an only child, maybe, you know, they've left you everything, or they've left you the house, or they've left you the stocks, or they've left you the cougar rants that they buried in the backyard. I mean, you know, how do you kind of deal with all of that?
Yeah, it can be, it's burdensome no matter what it is in terms of what, let's put it this way. It's stressful even with the simplest and most well laid out estate plans there are. It's going to be there's going to be some stress and heartache with it. If the more complex it is and the less it has been properly documented and communicated to the relevant family members, the worse it is oftentimes. And it can be debilitating. I mean, we've had, unfortunately, we've had clients that have said as much as, I'm not doing well as a result of all of this, and I feel like I'm having panic attacks, or my anxiety is there, and I just feel like debilitated by this burden of responsibility to especially, you know, we have a lot of clients that may have known at some point that, oh, mom and dad always said, hey, you're our, you know, whatever, you're our oldest or you're our most responsible child, however way they said that. Hey, we're picking you to make the hard decisions and to carry out our wishes when we're not here anymore, when we can't. And they kind of know that, but then all of a sudden they're like, oh, wait, now it's like, it's here. I have to be doing things. And brother and sister are calling me up and asking me, you know, what's going on. And they've got their opinion on how things should go and what we should do with the house that needs to be sold and XYZ. And all of a sudden the pressure's on. So if you find yourself in that position, first of all, you need some help, I think. And really it starts with going to the attorney who you're, that person, your parents, let's say, worked with, and getting them to interpret, you know, the will and the documents and make sure that they lay out, here are the appropriate next steps. Although I've seen increasingly more in the last few years where they say, oh, yeah, I got the, you know, the paperwork. Oh, yeah, that lawyer, yeah, they retired about a decade ago. And maybe they're out of state and they may have no successor, or they reach out and they go, yeah, he did this trust with his attorney, you know, this friend from college, but I think he's like a real estate attorney, but he wrote this thing and he says, oh, I don't deal with estate administration. What do we do about it now? And that's where it can be tricky too.
Wow. All right. So Ryan, so first we've got to make sure that we've got that trusted individual, family member, or I suppose it doesn't have to be, but we have to make sure that they know that they are that trusted individual and that everybody else in the family knows that they are that trusted individual. All right.
Right.
Now, when you're working with the, you know, with the parents and they're kind of putting this together and they want to make sure, this does have some echoes of what we were talking about last month when it comes to making sure that your kids or your grandkids are going to be taken care of for that college education. You want to make sure now that your kids are getting, or that you are leaving them the most out of your estate, what it is that you want them to have. How do you, in those conversations and ClearPath Financial, kind of go about crafting that to make sure that you're protecting the goals that they have?
If our clients, as they often are, if they're, well, actually, I'd say it's on both ends. There's a lot of our clients are in that position where they're dealing with elderly parents who are maybe in great health or maybe not so great health or maybe have passed away, but they're also starting to think about their own estate planning because now their kids are grown or somewhat independent at this point. So I can kind of see it from both ends, but if you're well into retirement and you're in your 70s or beyond, and that's our client, then we're saying the first thing is reviewing the documents. When were they last drafted and by whom? And does this still align with your goals and what's changed? And it could be anything from if several years or let's say a decade has elapsed, probably time to go get a checkup, even if you think nothing in your life has changed. But over a decade, things change, right? People get older. The child you thought that may, you know, have been in great shape is now in a tough marriage that they don't know if they can see it through. And they may be looking at a divorce, or maybe now the child who is not of majority age, now they're a well-adjusted adult. And you say, well, I shouldn't discount Matt from having a say in this. Like, he's doing great, you know. So to first have it reviewed, make sure the documents are in alignment, but then to take it a couple steps further, Hank, because just having documents done by an attorney, yeah, that should be enough, but oftentimes it's not. And people forget what the wishes were when it was said, and everyone interprets it differently, that maybe they had a little conversation over Thanksgiving 8 years ago and the parents said, oh, and Susie, we're going to ask you to do this, that make healthcare decisions. And John, you're going to make the financial ones. And they were just like, great. But now all of a sudden it's there. What I found has helped is communicating to them. And we say, hey, do your kids know that this is the expectation of them on how you want that money handled or what the intentions are, or how you want XYZ handled. And so to communicate it, but then to even put it in writing as sort of a letter of intent that can accompany estate documents to basically describe kind of the spirit behind what's involved. And as an example, if you have a child, if you've got a child who has some issues and you don't want them to be fully responsible for the money, instead of just putting, oh yeah, you know, Jimmy and Kelly, they get full autonomy, but Steve's portion is goes into this trust and it's under discretion of this and that and the other. If it just says that, but there's no context and the parents haven't articulated honestly to the kids what their concerns are, there's going to be fights. It could be problematic. And so I recommend them to write a letter and say, you know what, this is why. Plus we have, by the way, our notes in conversations and communications documented. But in the event that an estate is challenged or a will is contested, we can say, no, Steve, this is why your portion wasn't left out right. And they want, you know, you to have access to, you know, this financial security and this income is needed for these things. But here's where, you know, this is why they did that. And it, even if it can be difficult, like a lot of things in life, communicating them, you know, up front can save confusion and pain later.
You are listening to the podcast of Clear Path Financial, speaking, of course, with Ryan Kittredge. And Ryan, and here's the thing, that the parents, just by having made clear who they feel is going to be the responsible one, in some families it may be very clear, well, of course, it's going to be the oldest or whatever, they may have felt that they took care of all that.
Right.
Because, you know, it's our kids and our kids get along and everything else.
That's right.
And your kids get along right up until they have that difference of opinion, some of the things that you have spelled out, or siblings get along, but you know what? Everybody's gone and gotten married and has families of their own, and their significant others have some very definitive ideas about how things should be split up, and that might not be the way that, you know, that you and your siblings were might have seen it if it was just you.
You can see how that could happen.
It's
right?
So many different voices that all of a sudden come in, and you know, some of these, I think, as you were pointing out in the beginning too, when you were saying some of the attorneys or people who put some of these things together for your parents when they were in their 40s or 50s. And the attorney was in his 40s, 50s, or 60s, or was older. How do you, you know, I mean, now it's 20 years later, and if you didn't, well, I took care of that. But you didn't really look at it over the 20 years. All of these things just keep coming up.
That's it. It can be pretty daunting, for sure. And the people forget, people don't understand even to begin with a lot of times. I mean, frankly, like clients who do an estate plan, even once they're to the point of they know why they're doing what they're doing, 5 minutes could pass, never mind 5 or 15 years. They may not even remember why that certain provision in the trust is how it is. And we have to go back to sort of the intent behind it and what the goals were to reference.
Ryan, you know, let's go now to the fact that, okay, everything has been worked out. You got the house, or everybody decided we're going to sell the house and we'll just split it equally, or all of these things that have been worked out. Now you have clients who say, hey, all of a sudden, geez, I just got this windfall, and maybe it's even more than I thought. What do they have to watch out for? How do you sort of advise them so that it fits into the goals you've already been talking to them about when it comes to your retirement? Because I'm sure that well, I'll just go with myself. Somebody hands me a pot of money and I didn't expect it. It's going to be hard for me to say, let me call up Ryan and put that towards my goals instead of let me go out and blow that on my trip around the world or something.
Sure. Well, and I mean, it could be
maybe
both.
That's what I should do, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'll, you know, depending on, you know, the person and their situation and the, I guess, the size of the inheritance relative to what their needs are. And yeah, a lot of times it can be both. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I mean, hey, it is kind of, in a sense, even though dollars are dollars, there's a different psychology attributed to the source of those dollars. And it's weird. And I'm not immune to that either. And I understand money psychology pretty well. But the fact is, Hank, when back several years ago, when I got a small inheritance from my great uncle Johnny, you know, if I had earned $5,000, I'm paying bills, I'm putting it away, maybe I'm making purchases, but very well calculated. But then a $5,000 inheritance, it was easy for me to say, you know what, Uncle Johnny, I think really would love to see me happy on my carbon full suspension mountain bike that exactly. I, you know, want to buy.
Right.
And I did. And
honestly, that probably is exactly what he had in mind.
I think so. I stand by that. I believe it. But you're right. I mean, you do need to have a game plan. And I think, you know, what will be nice, Hank, is we'll next show probably have Molly Brown, my partner, join us. And she does a lot of the estate administration, so talk a little bit more about kind of some of the issues that can arise, because everything from property, never mind small business interest or certain types of annuities, and it can get complicated, right? So we'll leave that to the next show. But to your point about how can it change your life, once we've gotten past, things have sorted, siblings are happy, everybody, you know, feels like it got handled the way that it should have, and we and the attorneys, we kind of stamp of approval, like, hey, we're great. What do you do? At that point, there are decisions to be made. And the first one is to avoid, as much as you can, making impulsive decisions, right? So I'll defend myself and say that the thing that I purchased was something that I knew I had wanted, but just couldn't justify it financially for years, right? So, and it wasn't impulsive. It was still several months after I got the money, right? I wasn't waiting for a check to clear and showing up at the bike shop. I gave myself some time and it still made sense to me. So great. So avoid making impulsive decisions, but I think it's first understanding, which probably is already understood if you're working with us by now, or what are the tax implications, because you don't want to just move money around and have some really unexpected big tax bill, especially after you've already probably helped, if you're the personal representative or the trustee, you've already done estate tax and income tax returns and all these things. Like, you don't want another surprise tax bill. But I think it's once you've not been impulsive and you understand the different assets and their liquidity and their tax consequences if you do things with them, then it's to go back to some of the basics. And do you have an emergency fund? And should that be buffered? Do you have high interest rate debt? Should be prioritized and paid off if it's not advantageous debt, if it's consumer debt or something like that. Now, on the other hand, you also don't want to say, hey, great, I got this inheritance, I'm going to go debt free. I'm going to write a check, pay off my mortgage, my auto loan. I'm going to pay off my kids' student loans. Some people almost go too far and they're like, great, I'm just going to wipe away all the debt. Well, especially if you have debt that more than a few years old, that's at a great rate. Me and every other financial person would probably say, well, don't do that. Don't pay off your mortgage at 2.875 when you could pay off these other things, but then put it into a higher yield account,
right?
CDs or government bonds and make a nice spread there. So that's, you think of that too, but those are a couple of the considerations.
Right, but that's really where you need a financial advisor, because your impulse to, I'm just going to pay everything off and listen, isn't this going to be great, and we're going to pay off the house 10 years earlier, but you could actually make more, be able to put more away for your retirement if you keep that mortgage. That's actually something that could happen. That's interesting. Right. I mean, that might be something that we don't think about, again, why you need an expert, or where I suppose, you know, your part of that inheritance might have been stocks. And here are the stocks that you are given. And then you start to take a look at these stocks. Do I want these? Do I want to hold on to these? Do I want to sell these? If I sell these, then we're back to what you just said about what's your tax hit going to be.
That's right. Absolutely. And those are considerations, too, because then it's there's some emotional attachment maybe to the companies and or the investments that your parents or your sibling or whoever passed away you're receiving an inheritance from. There's almost like a feeling of guilt if they do something different, right? And it could be, I'm thinking of one client I was speaking with this morning. His folks had passed away a handful of years back, inherited a bunch of Pepsi stock, but did they need that much Pepsi stock? No, not necessarily. But so what we ended up doing as sort of a kind of a to meet both needs is divesting of most of it, but setting up custodial accounts for their kids to then take some Pepsi shares and put them into each of these custodial accounts so that that way they can tell their kids, hey, look, this was the stock that grandpa bought all, yeah, you know, 40 years ago, and he put it and he wanted it to grow for us. And you can use it as a way to, as a, you know, legacy to them and as a way to educate your kids. But oftentimes the fact is that the way your parents had their investments set up or the bank accounts or insurance companies they used, it may not be exactly what you need.
Yeah, boy, just a moment left here, and obviously we want you to be able to tell everybody how to get in touch, but that's such a great point. When people are working with you, Ryan, I mean, some of it is that you have to, because you know them, they're more than clients. I mean, you know, you really get to know people, especially when you're working in the field that you do. You have to understand some of that emotion. Everything can't just be cut and dried and just business.
No.
It isn't just Pepsi stock. It really does mean something to me. My dad got this for me,
right,
and not just for me, but he did see it as, look at this great thing I've done and for future generations. And
that's it. You got to feel good about it.
Right,
it's
exactly.
It's not only spreadsheets and numbers, and it's the, I think, the right combination of what is makes sense for you, but what do you feel good about as well?
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Best way for people to get in touch with you and ClearPath Financial Partners.
Yeah. So right on our website, clearpathfinancialpartners.com. You can submit questions. You can learn a bit about us. There's some educational resources. So just check out our website and reach out if it's appropriate. We're happy to chat through something with you.
Well, that brings us to the conclusion of another great podcast with ClearPath Financial Partners. Remember, individual tax matters should be discussed with your tax professional, and the opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriate qualified professional prior to making a decision. For Ryan Kittredge, I'm Hank Stoltz. Thank you for joining us on the podcast of ClearPath Financial Partners.